blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing the beginning of this New Year's Eve service from the singing of Psalter 47 or 57, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The earth and the fullness with which it is stored, the world and its dwellers belong to the Lord. For he on the seas its foundations has laid, and firm on the waters its pillars has stayed, and firm on the waters its pillars has stayed. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 57.
wish to read from God's holy and precious word from the book Ecclesiastes, thereof chapter 7. A good name is better than precious ointment, and a day of death than a day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in a day of adversity consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also, from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know, and to search, and to seek out wisdom, and the reason of things, and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one, to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, one more time, thou givest us to gather before this year draws to its close. How quickly all things have gone by, and all that is behind us, we are not able to recover again. all of our time and that we have spent amidst all the vanity of this world in things unprofitable that is never any more to be regained. It is perished forever. Oh, that thou wouldst bind this matter upon our heart, even in this evening hour, when one more time and thy word is to be going forth, if thou will give it yet in this evening hour, one more time that word is proclaimed in the midst of us, being heard by the hearing of our ears. One more time that we will have to give an account for when we are standing before thy judgment seat, which day is fast approaching. That is not what we desire to consider, but it is the truth, it is the reality. Oh, that we may be given understanding hearts in this evening, because we have heard it out of thy holy word, and that thou hast set those two things over against each other, the many blessings that we have received in the midst of this world in the year that is quickly gone by. And then who is able to say that we have not received so far above what we deserve? O Lord, give us humble hearts when we may look upon all thy gifts and blessings and mercies, that it may bring us in the dust of self-abasement before thee, that we may be ashamed of ourselves. And thou knowest also all of the afflictions and the trials that have been endured in the midst of us. For though thou hast spared the lives of each and every one, and that we have not had to stand in this past year around an open grave, and yet thou knowest the sorrows that have come upon this one or that one in the midst of us, within their own families or within the extended families, Lord, thou knowest. And thou thyself, we have heard, dost set these things over against one another, the blessings and the afflictions. And it is for this end, thou sayest, that man should find nothing after him, all that it might be that he sees that it is vanity. And vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. And thou knowest that we cannot learn that lesson except thou bringest it in our hearts. And Lord, then thou knowest that it becomes an urgent matter for more and more of us in the midst of this world. Because our time is fast hastening away, or that we might feel the urgency of that matter, the matter of our soul, as we are traveling to a judgment seat where we must give an account before thee, before thy all-piercing eye. Thou who art the Son of God, who wilt stand in that judgment, and every eye shall see thee, also those that pierced thee. Oh, that we may be given eyes to see how that we have pierced thee. or that we may receive a true sorrow for our sin, that we may mourn therefore, because the time is not yet closed for us. O Lord, bind then that matter upon our heart, both young and old. Grant us instruction, and wilt thou teach us yet, when we are gathered this last time in this evening hour, he that feareth God, he shall come forth of them all. O bind it upon the hearts of our youth. Bind it upon the hearts of our children, that we may be given to feel and to know that there is nothing so great as to fear God, that that desire may be born within our hearts, that it may burn in our hearts, and that we could not let thee go except that thou wouldst bless us. O Lord, teach us then from above, and while it is still a day of grace and a time of salvation, do look upon all that become older and have, as it were, a foot already in the grave. Lord, that thou wouldst visit with thy mercies and with thy grace, when for so many years they have come and gone from the place of the holy. O Lord, when there is still something, that great thing, that one thing needful that is lacking, O that thou may bind it upon them, and that thou may grant truly a humbling of their hearts under thy goodness. O may it lead to a true repentance. O give those old stiff knees to bend and the hands to fold. Give that place where they may cry out in the secret chamber before thee, that they may, even when they have given all their young bones unto the world, oh, that they might see that thou still art able and willing to show mercy to the chiefest of the sinners, or that they may not despair in the end of life when the urgency is growing, but that the cry may become ever more urgent, and that it may become ever, that it may go ever higher and ever deeper, that it may be brought with crying, strong cryings and tears before thee. Lord, thou knowest the hardness of our hearts, and thou knowest how that our consciences, after so long time, they become hardened, they do not speak anymore. O Lord, it is only thee who are able to change it. And thou who art so almighty, so all-powerful, and when it is experienced then in the heart of this one or of that one, that they are not able to change themselves. O Lord, we beseech thee for the power of thy most Holy Spirit, even in this evening hour, that thou wouldst draw nigh unto us, to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and to open the blessed fountain that is opened for the house of Israel, that they may receive also therefrom. O Lord, look upon us, both young and old, parents, children together. Remember those that are lonely in the midst of this world, the widows of the congregation, be on their right and on their left, in these days and in the year that is to come, when thou wilt spare us, and that thou may look upon all that have needs and cares of mind and of body, pain in the body, difficulty in knowing anymore. Lord, be on the right and on the left in thy mercy. Look thou upon us as a consistory, thou who hast given what was necessary in the year that is gone by, that we may also acknowledge thee for so much. Humble us under thy goodness and look upon us in all thy mercy. Bless the labors of the hands of thy servants over the length and breadth of this whole world. And wilt thou look upon our rulers? Oh, give them to look back a moment in this evening hour where the world that does seek what it is not able to find, a happiness in the midst of this world. But give our rulers wisdom. Oh, give our rulers true wisdom, that they might look back a moment, that they may be given true repentance and a heart that desires to go forward in a different way. Look upon us in this evening hour. Lord, be on our right and on our left to bring one more time in this evening this little portion of thy holy word. Oh, it is thy word. It needs to be brought in our hearts for the first time. It needs to be brought in our hearts by renewal. Oh, that thou may do so in this evening hour. To give in the midst of us, to know that thou art near, and that thou knowest of us, and that thou blessest us undeservedly for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 28, stanzas 1 through 5. When in the night I meditate on mercies multiplied, my grateful heart inspires my tongue to bless the Lord, my guide. 1 through 5 of Psalter 28. beloved congregation, it is the last day of the year. It is the last evening of the year. A few more hours and this year will draw to a close. We read in the Bible and that the Lord has made the seasons. That is, He gave the lights, the different lights, the sun and the moon, and that they may be for seasons, and that they may be for signs, and for days and for years, signs. Do we ever see the sun as a sign? It is a sign that comes up in the morning that the Lord gives to us another day, that the Lord extends to us His mercies, and then it goes down again in the evening. And that is also to be for us a sign, because there comes then an end unto those mercies. There comes an end unto that day, time. Time is a very wonderful thing. And that is something the Bible says that we live in, but we really do not realize what it means to live in it. Time, we read, is like an ever-rolling stream that bears all its sons away. Maybe you have been in a stream one time, boys and girls, in a little boat, in a little raft, and going down and be carried along with that stream. Do you ever think about that? And then it is not so easy if you will try to go against the water, against the stream, to go upstream. Say, no, that is a very difficult thing. And time is just that way. That is like a stream that keeps on flowing. And we are existing within that stream, and we are flowing down that river, that stream, as it were, little considering what it means to be within that stream, often until it is far too late, that we realize and that our time is coming to an end. The wise man, the wisest man, children, that is, who, you say that was Solomon, given wisdom by the Lord, also inspired by His Holy Spirit to write the Word of God. He has given us warning about this time passing away, and we wish in this evening hour to consider that for a few moments with you out of the portion of God's Word read to you, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. So far the words of our text, which speaks about the end of all men. For that is the end of all men. The end of all men. First, perceived in the house of the dead. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men. It is perceived in the house of the dead. Second, it is laid to the heart of the living, and the living will lay it to his heart. Laid to the heart of the living, the end of all men perceived in the house of the dead, and laid to the heart of the living. In this chapter, congregation, Solomon lays out paradoxes. What is a paradox? That is something that is difficult for us to understand. And Solomon speaks a number of these things that we would normally think were not indeed so. He says that a good name is better than precious ointment. So, ointment that is very costly. And we would say, when we are looking at something that is very valuable in this world, and we think how much that it could gain us, and when we would give it up for sale maybe, or have the preciousness and the blessing of its use, then we say, is that really that a good name is more precious than this very valuable thing? Solomon says that good name is better than precious ointment. Maybe we would say we would rather have that ointment. Solomon says, and the day of death, and then the day of one's birth. You say, well, how can that be? That the day of death can be better than a man's, the day of his birth. And yet, congregation, Solomon is right. Solomon is inspired by the Lord himself, and that Holy Spirit is never mistaken. Are there ever things that you say, young people, I don't understand what the Bible means? And therefore, many persons say, well, I don't believe that it is true because I do not understand it. That is to take ourselves and our own mind and place that above the Word of God. And that is just exactly in the wrong place. Because when we read things in the Word of God that we do not understand, then we have to realize that we have something that we need to learn, and that we are nothing but ignorance. There are texts that says it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. So a house of feasting, we think about perhaps a wedding, or perhaps in the day of tomorrow, it is our plan to come together with our families perhaps, and that we are going to maybe have a meal together or a nice time together. So Solomon speaks about this house of feasting and says it is better to go to the house of mourning. That is not according to our natural feelings. What would you choose? What would you choose to do in the day of tomorrow? Would you rather go to the funeral home? Or would you rather go to a wedding? Would you rather go to the house of feasting? You say, I would choose the house of feasting. Because there is, well, those young people are getting married, you say, then it is full of hope, it is full of expectation, and there is so much rejoicing for them that it is natural to us that we delight in it and that we rejoice with them. But when we hear that there is a funeral, well, then we must go, right? And we go with a heavy heart. We go with much reluctance. We go there with much sorrow. We go there with much grieving. That is a place to be which makes us boys and girls very sad. Maybe you have been sometimes already when you are young at a funeral, their loved ones need to be buried, and then you say there are so many tears that are being shed at the funeral and at that graveside. Thus you say, how can now that be possible that the word of God is true? It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, because I do not experience it to be so. No, I think that it is actually just the opposite. Is that so? Or do we not read this correctly? Because Solomon, he is not saying that it is more pleasant to go to the house of mourning. It is never pleasant to go to the house of mourning. Although in our days, that house of mourning, men try to make that into a house of feasting. That is sad, that a person is not even allowed to mourn anymore. But then we must rejoice in the life of a person. But that is not according to the holy word of God. And it is a rejoicing which is vain, because no one can take away that missing that is in the heart of a widow or a widower, or an orphan or a father or a mother that has to lay their loved one in the bosom of the earth. No, Solomon does not say, and he does not speak about it being more pleasant. And yet he says it is better. What does he say? He says it is more profitable. So what does that mean, young people? More profitable, something that you do not enjoy. Solomon says what the things that we enjoy doing and the things that are profitable, that are good to do, are not necessarily the same thing. That is what he says here. Do you understand that? When you look back in your life now in this past year, because that is what we do on such an evening as this, and then we are looking back. And when we will look back, young people, over the past year, then let us look back a moment and say, what are all of the things that you enjoyed doing? That you enjoyed doing? All you say was this and that and that and that. And now say, but what was the profit? What was the profit? And can you now distinguish between those two things? Because it is a great and necessary distinguishing. It was not always that way. No, there was a time when we were created that there was no toil, that there was no sorrow, that all the labor of a man's hands, Adam's hands in that garden, that was not labor. No, that was a great enjoyment for him. That was not done in the sweat of his face. No, that was done with much pleasure, with much enjoyment. That was done with much sweetness. There were no thorns. There was no thistles. There was nothing to come in between him and the profitableness of the labors of his hands. That is no more. What a great difference. What an evil sin is. Is it not so? What has sin wrought? What has it brought into the midst of this world? So that Moses says now that the strength of our life, that is labor and sorrow, the strength of it, that is the best part of it. That is when you are young, we would say, young people, and young fathers and mothers, and you have a growing family, we say the strength of your life. And what is that? Moses says, even the strength of our life, that is labor and it is sorrow. Oh, how old we have to be to know that, to experience that, I think, each and every one to a greater or lesser degree, and does experience this each and every day again. And then Moses says, for it is soon cut off, and he says, we fly away. Thus he speaks about the house of feasting. He does not say it is bad, a bad thing to go to the house of feasting. No, it can be good. It can be good to be together as families. If things are done decently, if things are done in order, if conversation is right and good and godly and upright, then indeed it can be good to be together. And yet, Solomon says it is better to go to that house of mourning. And why? Why it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting? He says, because that is the end of all men. What does he mean by that? Do men come to an end? Well, no, not really. Or our natural life comes to an end, but our soul never comes to an end. Wicked people in this world would like to say dead is dead. Do you believe that? That dead is dead? Oh, how many times has that maybe come into your mind? You say, is the Bible really true? That there is an afterlife. And maybe if we live in a way in this world where our conscience that is speaking so loudly, and you say, oh, I wish, maybe, because then I would not have to stand before God. Oh, there are times in the life of God's people, sometimes in that true conversion, that they are looking at the animals, the cows and the birds, and they say, oh, if it were only so that I did not have to give an account before God. Oh, if I could be even as those animals. And yet it is not so. Man is not like the beasts that perish. But Solomon, he says that death is coming. And he says it is coming for each and every one. There were two not, right, children? Enoch, that godly man, and Elijah. And he went up into heaven in that fiery chariot. And now for everyone else, before that Christ is coming on that great judgment day, for everyone else there is coming a day, and that we are going to die. Yes, you say, I know that. Oh, you know that. That is good. How do you know that? Well, you say, I read that in the Word of God. Right. You believe the Word of God? Good. Good, because the Word of God is true. And then every man, you read that over and over again, and he died. Some lived 100, 200, 500, 900 years. And he died. Yes, you see, I know that. I know that very well. And not only from the Bible, but I hear that. Oh, we may acknowledge the Lord that we have been spared in the year that is gone by. But the year is not done yet. The night is not done yet. But thus far, each and every one of us has been spared, and yet, oh, families, and yet friends, loved ones, community, oh, time and again, in the world, in the newspaper, this one, that one. Ah, you say, I know that. I know that we have to die. But did it ever come home to you? Did it ever come home to you? Because if a man receives a message from the doctor and says that he has a serious disease, everything changes, right? In a moment, then there is some hope. Medicine, so on. And then the doctor says, well, yeah, there is nothing anymore we can do. Solemn thing, right? Then everything changes. The way we look at life, the way we look back, the way we look forward, everything. The way we look at our work, the way we look at our school children. Everything then in that moment changes. But you know, you don't have to have a serious disease in your body for everything to change. No, if the Spirit of the Lord may come and bind this matter upon your heart, then we become, and you ask for that, children, right? You say, Lord, give me a new heart, right? And if the Lord will give you a new heart, all that is one thing that that is going to happen. You know, you read in that beloved Pilgrim's Progress, right? He has the Bible in his hand. He is not sick. No, he doesn't have a serious disease in his body, but he has the Bible in his hand. And because he had the Bible in his hand, you have the Bible in your hand? How much have you had the Bible in your hand over the year that has gone by? Or you had something else in your hand, so there was no room for a Bible in your hand. Did that other thing in your hand, did that teach you? Did that bring home to you in your heart that you have to die? And that you have to appear before God? That was what that Bible did. Not all by itself, no. No, but by the Spirit of the Lord when he was reading that Bible. And then there was no disease in his body, no. But then he felt that disease in his soul. And then he says, I have to die. And I have to appear before God. Oh, then it came home unto him. Oh, you say, what a difficult thing that is, right? I can't give it to myself. No, that is true. That is true. But what are now the means? Do you know what Solomon says? He says that house of mourning is a means for that. The means for that. He says when we may go to that house of mourning and we may be there with those mourning ones, and we may weep with those mourning ones, grieve with them, sorrow with them, oh, he says that there is something in this. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men. What does he say? Solomon says that is the reality. Paradise, we followed Satan, and Satan is what, children? He is the liar, right? The father of lies. And then he deceived our first parents. That is your great, 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 great grandfather and grandmother. You know that? He deceived them. So what do you think of the devil? To have deceived them. You love him? You want to serve him? You want to listen to him? You know what he said to them? He says, you will not die. Thou shalt not surely die. The word of God is not true. And now that is what the devil says to us too, doesn't he? He says that to us. Well, you know, yeah, the year is almost over. Well, it is not so likely anymore tonight, right? That's what the devil says. He says it in all of our hearts, doesn't he? Oh, we do not believe it, do we? Actually, we can believe that it might be for someone else. But to believe it now like that man, that like that Christian in Pilgrim's Progress who fled, then there was fruit in his life. Fruit from faith. It was faith to believe what that Word of God says. Now, what does that Word of God say? It says our life that is as an hand breadth is only that big. Our life that is just like a vapor that comes and that disappears. Our life is just like a shadow. It's just nothing. That is what our life is. What does Solomon say? He says it is a blessed thing. If we may ponder this, do we ponder that? I thought, congregation, you know, we were not gathered as a congregation in this past year at a funeral one time. Not one time. A whole year has gone by. Oh, and then at such a funeral, oh, then it is a message such as this that would be brought. And so we have not heard that. And therefore I thought, well, we need to speak about this in this evening hour. Because the Lord says that it is a blessing. That we may be brought to meditate, that we may be brought to ponder on this. We ponder about so much, don't we? Our work, our school, our play, we think about it all. But the Lord says now to ponder, to think about reality, what is real. Because what Satan says is not real. What Satan says is a lie. And all of our unbelief, we believe something. We don't believe the truth, but we believe something. That means that we believe the lie. And now the Lord says to ponder this, to meditate upon this, all that is not all pleasant. Not all pleasant, but Solomon says it is profitable. Why? Because reality is the truth, and the truth never goes away. It never goes away. You cannot get rid of it. It's just like matter in this world. Then it is always there. You can try to burn that wood, it only turns it into something else. All the truth that can never go away. And now in that house of feasting, what are we often doing? We are burying the truth, don't we? And we are rejoicing about what? Well, about this world. About all the vanity of this world. And that is what we speak about. And that is what we delight in. And the rest is buried. The rest is buried. What's buried? Reality. Reality. Truth. Cover it with all our carnal rejoicings. What does Solomon say? Unprofitable. Unprofitable. So if we look back now in this past year, how much was unprofitable? And not only unprofitable, but damaging. Damaging. And why damaging? Because it prolongs the deceit. It prolongs the deceit. That we just go on further and longer under that lie of the devil. For that is the end of all men, Solomon says, that to everything there is a season. What does that mean? There is a beginning and there is an ending. That is here on earth. We should think about that because it is the word of God. To everything there is a season. With all of our endeavors that we do in the midst of this world, there is a season. There is a beginning to it, and there is also an end to it. And a time for every purpose that is under the heaven. So you begin school, children, begin the year, and then you end the year. You begin your schooling in pre-K or kindergarten. And then it's going to come to an end sometime. And your career, young people, what are you beginning? You have a look to the end? Because whatever it is that you are beginning is also going to come to an end. Your business, we begin it, it will end. You are going to date, it will begin, and it will end. Our marriage, it begins, and it will end. Bringing up children, it begins, and it will also end. Now Solomon says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Why is that? What is the end of something? That is the purpose of it. And so when we begin, we are looking for the end, aren't we? We are looking to enjoy the fruit of our hands when we plant a vineyard. We're going to get the fruits. And we are not just working to work, no. But there is an end. There is a purpose. And we are looking that we may obtain that purpose. And that's when God made the world. What was now better, the beginning or the end? When everything was a chaos, or when that beautiful creation came out of the fingers of God, like clay from the hands of the potter? Ah, you say, what a beautiful end. Better is the end of a thing. And when you do a thing, then also better when you come to see the end and the purpose, and that is fulfilled and it is all brought to fruition, then we rejoice in the accomplishment of our hands. But not everything is better in the end. There are some things that are very awful in the end. Think about Doeg. He just began. Oh, they were evil beginnings in his heart. It was not the fear of God. And oh, that had only started and never ended. Oh, if it could only have ended before it began. Because it ended there in the death of all of the Lord's priests. All the end of that thing, it was not better than the beginning. Think of Saul himself, the life of Saul. What an end. What an awful end. Think about Judas. You know what the Lord says about Judas? It says, good word for that man. If he had never been born. Never been born. Good word for that man if there had never been a beginning. How many of us? For how many of us will that be the same? That it would have been better if there hadn't been no beginning. Congregation, let us sing 107, 1, 2, and 4. My end, Lord, make me know. My days, how soon they fail. And to my thoughtful spirit show how weak I am and frail. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 107. Of all men first perceived in the house of the dead, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men. Second, laid to the heart of the living, and the living will lay it to his heart. There we have the purpose. There we have the reason that it is better to go to the house of mourning. It is not just for no reason. It is not just for melancholy, as if and that the Lord would have us to delight in melancholy. No, there is good reason. There is good purpose, because the Lord will have us to receive instruction. Instruction in that house of mourning, and that for a reason, he says, and the living will lay it to his heart. That is now the purpose. Also now tonight, in that house of mourning, we observe the end of a man's life. And then we observe a couple of things. What do we do? What do we see in the house of mourning? We see in the first place that he did die. He did die. And though so we see the reality, we see the truth of the word of God. We say that indeed the threatenings of the Lord are not vain, but the threatenings of the Lord are certainly going to be carried out. So that is in the first place. And in the second place, what do we do? And you may go to that house and visit that family that is mourning, and then you are going to hear something. They are going to be speaking sometimes about the life of that person. And they will go maybe all the way to the beginning of their life. And they're going to speak about what that person was, what that person has done in their life. Thus, we look at a person's life. We observe how he lived. And then we observe how he died. And those two things are related to one another. The Lord Jesus told a parable about the rich man and Lazarus. And to that rich man, it was said in Hades, in hell, thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, and now thou art tormented, and he is comforted. Thus what does the Lord say? He says there is a relation. Those two things are not separated from each other. How that we have lived, and how that we do die. We read in God's word that there is a broad way and that there is a narrow way. And at the end of those ways, they are connected to the way itself. Thus, that broad way that is leading to destruction and that narrow way that is leading unto life. And thus we say, as a man lives, so a man will also die. Thus there is for us an instruction in it. And Solomon says that the living, is that us? So far yet. We do not know another moment. But so far yet, that is us. Solomon says, the living will lay it to his heart. Namely, what is now the end of a wicked man. He will lay that to his heart. Shall we try to do that a moment now? Shall we go, as it were, into the funeral home? And shall we see the watery end of the first world? Shall we observe that for a moment? And shall we just think about their life? How that they have heard the preaching of Noah for 120 years. And how that they have watched that ark, that picture of that gospel, a picture of that hiding place in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they have watched that ark being built for 120 years. Oh, maybe some have mocked. Others did not dare, but it meant nothing to them. In their heart, they said it is all foolishness. And not one of them has been turned by it from his evil ways. Oh, shall we look for a moment at the end, the fiery end of Sodom and Gomorrah? That was a place wherein a righteous man lived. A righteous man who vexed his righteous soul day by day. A righteous man who warned their people and said, "Nay, do not so wickedly." Shall we go to the funeral home there for a moment? Oh, where is that? There we may see with Abraham the smoke that is ascending into heaven, the smoke of the country as the smoke of a furnace. Will we receive instruction? What was the life? What was the life, young people? It was a life of wickedness. It was a life of immorality. Oh, the devil is so strong, isn't he? Oh, is he so strong for you too? Because we also have the means, don't we? We have a media is brought so close to us in our telephones, right? And we can get it all right before us. Will you go to the house of mourning there for a moment? And will you see what is the end now of such a life? Shall we go to the funeral home a moment? Then we can stand on the other side of the sea. And we can observe Pharaoh and his host sinking as a stone to the bottom of the sea. And then we can look over his life. And what was that? A wicked man, yes, but also a warned man. One plague didn't help. Second plague didn't help. Third plague, there is no turning. Four, five, six, seven, nothing. Eight, nothing. Nine, 10 times. Oh, you say finally, finally. And yet, no, no. Then he goes after them. And then the Lord says, "Is it enough?" It is enough. And then that watery end. Oh, will we place now those things together? What our life is. And also what our end will be. The tragic end of Judas. Will we stand still for a moment there? In that house of mourning? To see that man hanging, took his own life. A man that preached, probably did miracles. Hypocrisy. Oh, he had the bag. Oh, the bag. It was the destruction, wasn't it? 30 pieces of silver. The love of money. The root of all evil. Oh, shall we stand still a moment in that house of mourning? Shall we go to Ahithophel? And shall we look there for a moment? Wisdom, he would say. Oh, who had more wisdom than that in all the world? Solomon says of many making many books, no end. Yeah, that man, if you went for counsel, like the counsel at the oracle of God, gave advice to this one, to that one, to David, the king, good advice, and died in his foolishness. The fear of God never entered his heart. Oh, he did not have that true wisdom that was applied unto his own soul. Shall we go to Mahanaim for a moment, young people? Mahanaim. That was a funeral home too, wasn't it? Right? David, mourning, mourning. Oh, Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee. Oh, will you go for a moment and watch and look over what the life of that young man was? Because then we will see the truth of the word of God, and that a bloody and a deceitful man will not live out half his days. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles, the Lord says, shall eat it. Shall eat it. That means not even a burial. Oh, what a funeral. But you know, oh, there is not only warning in that house of mourning. Oh, there can be there in that house of mourning that so draws a man. You ever experienced that? When you have gone into a house of mourning? Oh, shall we go there to that funeral home where Jacob, who was named Israel, he is laid out there. Oh, it is at the end of a life that is full of trouble, a life that is full of his own errors, of his own weakness, of his own sin. And then he may come to the end of it. He may come to the end of it. He longed for that. Now let me die, because I have seen thy face, and because thou art yet alive. And there we see Joseph at that funeral. Ah, he falls upon the face of his father, Jacob. He weeps, but Jacob, he is no more. Israel is delivered from Jacob, and Israel is delivered from halting upon his thigh. Blessed death, sweet death, blessed departure out of this world. Oh, will you go for a moment, children, even to the house of Jeroboam? There I see a father. Boys and girls, you are still young. You are still young. You say, minister, you are preaching for my father, for my mother, my grandfather, maybe my great-grandfather. Wait a moment. Because if we will go into the house of King Jeroboam, and then he and his wife are crying, because they had there a little son. Oh, and they now have to bury him because he is dead. Do you believe that, boys and girls? That is what the word of God says. You know something? You know what it also says? That in that child was some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel. Oh, then for that child, then he may depart out of this life, and he may go into an eternal life, into an eternal bliss. And he had never to endure all the afflictions and all the trials and all the misery that a man has to endure in this life. Do you believe that, boys and girls, that you also can die? But that it is also possible that you can have a good death? Do you believe that? That the Lord can give that to you even in the days of your youth? Or will you seek that? Because you know what the Bible says in that text tonight? It says the living, boys and girls, the living, are you still living? It says the living will lay it to his heart. The living will take it home with him tonight. The living will meditate upon it tonight. Will you do that? Or will the day of death, congregation, be better for us than the day of our birth? It will not be if we have never laid this to our heart. Will you lay it to your heart then? That we are finite creatures. Finite. As having to do, of course, with the things that are in this world. Soon we have to say goodbye to one another. Do you believe that? Fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, what will that be when we have to say goodbye to one another? If we may do that, then for the last time, and when we depart from one another out of this world, what would that be for you, children? If your father or mother would be laying on their deathbed and they would say, I now have to die. And then they would give you a kiss one more time. One more time. That is serious, isn't it? That is serious. It is not this way at the moment, is it? Are you thankful for that? But do you know what the Word of God says? The Word of God says that the living will lay it to his heart. There will come a last time that we stand here. There will come a last time that we hear a sermon. There will come a last time that we pray. That we are able to read in that Word of God. Soon, that's coming. Oh, how quickly has the year gone by. And how quickly has our life gone by. And it is going to be very soon that we are all standing at that place. And it is going to be very soon that we are all standing together at that throne of God. There to give an account of everything that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Will you lay that to your heart tonight? Will you lay that to your heart tonight when you go to bed? And when you lay in your bed, will you now think of all the things for which we have to give an answer? All the sermons, all the invitations, all the sin, all the opportunity, all the vanity. Then the Lord is going to be asking us questions. Oh, he says, the living will lay it to his heart. Will you do that? That we are not an animal, that we have a soul, and that we travel to eternity. Eternity, eternity. Oh, that great eternity. Will you lay to your heart that the Lord says that he will have the living to lay it to his heart? Will you lay that to your heart? Also in this evening hour, will you lay it to your heart that today is not yet too late? That if you may hear his voice, the Lord says, harden not your hearts? Or will you lay that to your heart? Will you meditate on it? Will you ponder it? Will you ask the Lord and say, Lord, bring it in my heart? Will you lay that to your heart? That he has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Will you lay that to your heart? Because there is a time coming that you will not be able to lay it to your heart anymore. Then that time is going to be past, forever and forever past. Oh, will you lay that to your heart? Because what does the Lord say? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Let him return unto the Lord. Will you lay that to your heart tonight? Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Oh, will you lay that to your heart? And to our God, for he says he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. Oh, will you lay it as the living to your heart? Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and of earth, we cannot lay it to our heart except thou givest it to us. Oh, give us thoughts and meditations thereon, that we may not push it away, as we do so time and again, for we are such worldly and vain creatures. Oh, give us to meditate upon these things, that it may be profitable for us, and that we may be prepared when that day is approaching, when the last hours, as it is even in this year, the last hours approaching, when time will, like an ever-rolling stream, be bearing us away, and it will become more and more urgent. O Lord, that thou may thyself lay it to our hearts, bless then thy holy word, forgiving all of our many, many sins. Give us true repentance and a returning again unto thee, who art so ready and so willing to forgive and to cast iniquity behind thy back into that sea of everlasting forgetfulness. Lord, keep us through the night. Bring us with desire in thy house in the day of tomorrow, in the morning hour, and that thou may grant us an undeserved blessing. Remember the brother elder who will go before us and be among us with thy favor, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 244, 2, 4, and 5. Each succeeding generation at thy mighty word appears, and thou dost count in time's duration, one day as 1,000 years. 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 244. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.